Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to look into your word together as a body. We thank you for the word of God that we have that's preserved for us in the scriptures. We thank you that you have saw fit to preserve that word and that we have an authority that we can lean to. And Lord, that we trust that it is the word of God. And we pray that as it goes forth, that it might strengthen us and edify us. We pray for all those who are not here, for those who may have had a desire, and for those who have no desire at all. We pray once again for the word, that it might have free course. And we thank you for it. And above all things, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about something that everybody thinks they know, but if you examine, we know very little about him, and that's the devil. We put a lot of things on the devil that we might be a little bit premature on putting those on him. And Paul's writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And he always had a problem with the Corinthians because they questioned his authority as an apostle. They always questioned his authority, and for that reason, a lot of them didn't respond to his teaching. And who would get you to go away from the man that God wants you to go to? Who would do that? It would be the devil. But they didn't know that. And Paul writes to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And they were having problems with, among other things, they had separated themselves from a believer in the church. In verse 5, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, Paul says, "But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. They had put him out of the assembly. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And that's what we look at tonight is, we want to find out, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, he said, we are not ignorant of his devices. But if you don't know not only the man, if you don't know the being, Satan, the devil, then there's no way you could know his M.O. or his modus operandi or the way he operates. So you can put a lot of things on the devil. It might not be the devil. So Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, let's find out. And in Scripture, he has several names.
Satan,
that's one. And in Scripture, not Slewfoot. Satan,
Lucifer. Demons.
No,
the evil one.
Okay, I think that's evil one is one of them. Light.
Light of light.
Well, he's transformed to an angel of light. Lucifer is light bearer. He's called the anointed
prince of darkness.
The anointed cherub. He's called Satan. We got that. Lucifer,
prince of darkness.
The devil. The dragon.
Oh, really?
Right. He's called Beelzebub.
Yeah.
The serpent. Right. So there's several names that he takes on. And in the beginning, right, in the beginning, the deceiver, right. And that's what he does. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's a slanderer. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And all these things, that's his character. And in the beginning, look at Isaiah chapter 14. The main job that he has is to counter, and he goes against everything that God does. Isaiah chapter 14.
Yeah.
14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, Lucifer means light bearer, son of the morning. "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." What is the Most High?
God.
It's God. Mm-hmm. You know what the scripture says about the Most High? Hold your hand there real quick. Genesis.
Genesis is Old Testament, right?
First book.
Oh, yeah. That's way back there.
Yep.
Genesis what?
Genesis chapter 14.
Genesis had a lot to say, huh?
Abraham is, he's going to rescue his nephew who's been in a battle and he's been taken prisoner. Excuse me. He's been taken prisoner. Abraham goes out to get him. Now, Abraham's God's man, right? Mm-hmm. We know God had already chosen Abraham. In Genesis 14:14, "And when Abram heard that his brother," that's Lot, "was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and all his goods, and the woman also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the
Most High God.
And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God. What? The possessor of what?
Heaven and earth.
Okay, if Satan says, I want to be like the Most High, what is he saying?
He wants to be the possessor of
what?
Heaven
and earth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if he's in heaven, mm-hmm, look at Ezekiel. He says, I will do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. He says, I want to be like the Most High God. In other words, he said, you know what? I want what I want. What you have, mm-hmm, right? What God has. Ezekiel 28. Now, here's just an interesting point before we look at the verses that we want to look at. Verse 28, chapter 28, verse 1. "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, 28:1, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and because thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and thou hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. He starts off talking about the prince of Tyre. Mm-hmm. But we're going to find out that just like Judas was incarnate or indwelt by Satan, this same thing here. So really, it's an address to Satan. He says, you're wiser, you think, you're wiser than who? Daniel. And that you know all secrets. That's real important. Look at verse 28:12. We're going to show you that he's talking about Satan here. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Okay? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God? Huh? When has a man, other than Adam, been in Eden? He's talking about Satan. He says, Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He's not talking about the king of Tyrus. He's talking about Satan. He's talking about Lucifer. Mm-hmm. He said, and he go, look, verse 14, thou art the what?
Anointed cherub.
That what? Covereth. The anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways. From the day that thou hast was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, Lucifer, light bearer. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, that's a whole lot. And we don't, because of time, we couldn't go through all the details, but he's saying that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And what he did was there's four cherubs. You'll find those talked about in Ezekiel and also in Revelation around the throne of God. What he did was covered the top. If you can say this was the throne of God right here, you'd have one here, one there, one there, one there, and one there.
So he was up there.
And he led all this light, all those jewels he talked about, all those jewels. Can you imagine? I don't know why I thought about like... the first thing I thought about was Little Richard, but I don't know if he had a lot of jewelry, a lot of shiny jewelry, you know, or like Liberace, where, you know, everything was bling. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the original bling right there, was Satan. Okay. Was Lucifer. The high priest has a breastplate on with the 12 tribes on it, and they all have a gemstone. Lucifer had the same thing. But he led the angelic host in worship. Then he said, "Thy pipes and thy tabrets." What do you do with pipes? What do you do with tabrets? Well, music.
Okay.
You know, anybody, you ever heard, they talk about a singer and they said, "Man, she got some pipes on her." She can sing. So he led in some type of angelic or worship in the heavenlies. And by him being in that situation over the throne of God, and they're all reporting to him.
He had quite a position.
But you know what? That position, can you imagine if he's over this? And he said, "Wait a minute. I'm just throwing out some hypotheticals." And it's based on scripture. He said, "Wait a minute. This could be mine. Why am I directing all this? I'm over the throne. Why can't I just sit here? Why can't I get it?" And I think in John said that he's the children of pride. He's the father of the children of pride. So you can see, well, he said, "Well, wait, I can get this." And that's where he says, "Iniquity was found in thee." You're talking about God, who's omniscient. He knows all. He created the being. Doesn't he think he knows what he's thinking about? Where he says, "You know what? It was okay to you say it in your heart. I will do this. I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High." He says, "Oh, you got to go." And he says, "I'm going to cast you out." So he goes from the light bearer, the anointed. You know what's interesting? The anointed cherub. You know who else is called anointed?
Christ.
Yeah. You know what anointed means? It means Christ. Anointed is the same word in Hebrew, Christos, oil, Christ, oil. Same thing. But he says, "You'll be cast out." And he casts them out. But in Ezekiel, where he talked about his trafficking, when you traffic something, what do?
You're
moving stuff.
Yeah.
I can't find the scripture. What he did was this. What we know what he talked about. What'd you say?
Drug trafficking.
Or you're not only selling drugs, but you're moving them from hand to hand. And what he did, he said, "You've been trafficking." This is Lucifer. There's a passage in, I believe it's in Kings, where David's son, Absalom, he wants to be king. So he meets the people at the gate. And when they come out, and he says, "Yeah, I can be your king. You want me as king?" He says, look at what I can do for you. I'm paraphrasing this. And that's what trafficking is. You know, he's catching them coming in and going out. You know, like we do, "Vote for me."
Yeah.
"Vote for me. We got your best interests at heart. Vote for me." And that's what he... But in Revelation, you find out that he drew
a third
part of the stars. So he got something to go along with his plan. And
He had campaign money.
He had a deep coffer, right?
Yeah.
But he does that. He's got them. Now, because, you know what? They have overestimated his wisdom. But he starts off in a good position, doesn't he?
Yeah, position. He was there.
He was there. But he's cast out. Now, right at that point, now he becomes not the Lucifer anymore. Now he becomes the devil or Satan. He's now he's the adversary. Adverse against.
He was created as an angel. Is that correct?
He was created as a cherub.
A cherub.
Yeah,
okay.
Cherub. Different from angel.
But he was an angel when he started.
He was a cherub.
Oh, he never was an angel.
No, no.
A cherub.
Hold your hand. Look at his. Look at.
I'm getting to the sin part.
Look at.
I'm sinning. What about a regular angel? Does a regular angel have sin?
They did, because they left. Look at. Let's try to group this together. Look at Ezekiel, chapter. I believe it's chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 1. And then the other verses in Revelation. Chapter 1, Revelation chapter 12, Revelation 12, and what's the in Revelation chapter 4? That's enough fingers right there, right? We'll start off with those. All right. We'll go first to Ezekiel chapter 1.
Okay, I'm there.
And Ezekiel's talking about, this is the throne. This is the actual chapter 1, verse 5.
Okay.
Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of what? Of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. Now, before we keep going, I want you guys to visualize this, and then you tell me what you come up with. Mm-hmm. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. Picture that. And they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. What color is that? Okay. Picture this in your mind. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides. And they had, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went, they went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Okay? Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined to another, and two covered their bodies. Now, that's pretty much, we don't need to go any further. So, they got four faces, right?
Mm-hmm.
Face of a man, face of a
lion,
face of a
ox,
and eagle.
Okay, four. That ought to ring a bell to you.
Cherubim.
That's a cherub?
Cherubim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something in Revelation somewhere.
Well, it is. And we're going to... We'll come back to that.
Okay.
But look at... Okay, now look at... Well, you know what? Before you go there, look at Ezekiel chapter 10. Just to reinforce this. 10:14. And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a
cherub.
Cherub.
Yeah.
And the second face was the face of a
man.
And the third, the face of a
lion.
And the fourth face. Okay, now he said the first, it was a cherub.
Yeah.
What's missing? What is the cherub now? You ought to be able to put two and two together. What's missing from this list?
An ox.
So, if he's the cherub, right? And he says the cherub is the same as a what? A cherub.
Same as an ox.
So you look back in Genesis, and this might be a little meaty, but he says, cursed thou be above all cattle.
Okay.
He said the serpent, he said, was, look at Genesis.
Okay.
Because y'all going to think I'm making this up.
No, we got you.
We listen.
We got you.
Okay.
Genesis what?
Genesis chapter 3.
Okay. There.
What do you want? See, Genesis 3. When there we started off, we said, well, people, they don't know who the devil is.
Yeah.
Because we got them.
In
we got them in a red suit with a forked tail, pitchfork, horns. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. Than any beast, any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, has God said. Okay, drop down to verse 14. The woman eats, 13. Mm-hmm. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me,
uh-huh.
and I did eat.
Uh-huh.
Okay, God said, first he was the beast of the field, right?
So you said cow.
Well, let's go with God.
The beast of the field.
Then Eve said he was the what?
Serpent.
Okay. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all and above every
beast.
Okay. He says, you're cursed above all cattle. What is the cattle? Would you say cattle look like an ox?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. From that family?
From that family? Would he qualify as a beast of the field?
Yes. An ox, yes.
Okay. So, keep this in mind. We're gonna let God identify him, because we look at that and we always think about the serpent as being, but he says, "Cursed are thou above all cattle." Look at verse 14. And above every beast of the field, upon thy shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing before that?
You saying with cattle?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking questions. If the curse was for him to crawl on his belly, what was he doing before that?
He had some legs.
Right. We don't know. Okay. Anyway, I just
threw that in.
Because it's not, he said it was a cattle.
Mm-hmm.
He said that a cherub, and who was, if Satan's there, you would expect him to appear as one of these forms of the cherub, wouldn't you? You expect him to appear as a
ox,
or a
eagle,
or or a
man.
Well,
one of those four, right?
Yeah, it was lion.
An ox, an eagle, a lion, and a man.
Man.
You expect him to appear as manifest as one of those forms of a cherub, right?
Yes.
All right, let's move on. Revelation.
Yeah, what time?
Revelation.
Because he got four phases.
Revelation.
The manifest.
Revelation 12.
Manifestation. Revelation. What did I say? Revelation.
12.
Okay.
12.
All right. Anyway, I don't want to get hung up on that. That was just something for you to visualize it.
We said you start off at a count.
So what you're saying, or we're going to say, he still is on his belly.
I want you to read it, so you know what? You can go home. And
that's why the dust, because it's so low to the ground, it's a surface. That's why the dust is going to be in space all the time.
I just want you to think about the cherub, who he is, how he started out.
Okay.
Because we have him as a, when you see pictures and all that, you see him in a tree already as a serpent, don't you?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Somebody asked, why did God make the devil? And then the person was told God didn't create the devil. He was an angel.
He was a cherub.
Cherub.
Right.
Cherub.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I always thought he was the angel that sat beside God up there in heaven. That's what I always thought. He was his main man.
I always thought cherub was the same as an angel.
Okay. What did I say? What did I say? Revelation
12.
Okay. 12 and verse.
You didn't say, did you?
Verse. Let's start at verse 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and above her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Drop down to verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. There you got. Yeah, right there. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I just wanted you to read that verse because I wanted you to know that he has some cohorts.
He has
company, right? Yeah. So he did, even though they're angels, and they were created, as Hebrews says, as ministering spirits for God. They were deceived enough to follow Lucifer, like some of us are. If he can, listen, if when Paul talks about we're not ignorant of his devices, if he's deceptive enough to fool an angel, what are you? Are you, Matt, can you match up to him?
We're a dummy.
You're a dummy to him. You know what, for him, it's cakewalk. The only thing that keeps us from being, like Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. The thing that keeps us from being deceived is the doctrine. We need to find out. He said we're not ignorant of his devices, but if you don't know the doctrine, then you are ignorant of his devices. And you could be, look at 1 Timothy. You could be 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is what you can be right here, what we can be.
2 Timothy
chapter 2, mm-hmm. Verse 25. He says, this is Paul, he said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the what?
Yeah.
acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare
of the devil.
Of the who? Of the devil. What has the devil done? He has taken captive by him at his will. This is Paul talking about saved people. And he's saying, you know what? You could be in the snare of the devil by not acknowledging the truth. That's what he said. That's why we go to people in meekness, instructing those, he said, that what? Oppose themselves. If a man is in opposition to this truth, he's what? He's opposing himself. You know what the Lord said to Paul when Paul was on Damascus? You know what he told Paul? He said, was Paul going the right way?
Yes.
Was Paul going the right way?
No.
Well,
no.
In the way that he was told.
He was persecuting who?
Christians.
The true believers.
Yeah, true believers.
And you know what the Lord said to him in Acts 9? He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The next thing he said is what? It is hard. It's hard for you to, you're opposing yourself. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He said, you fighting me, but you're really opposing yourself. This is against your own good. When you reject Pauline truth, when you talk to people who reject Pauline truth, it's against their own good. They're just hurting themselves, and they don't know that Satan's got them in a chokehold. He's got them. It just might. So we're back to Satan here. Adam, when Adam is there in the garden, Adam's God's man.
Yeah.
That's why Satan, if he's going to be like the Most High, if he's putting Adam over the earth, what am I going to do? If I'm the adversary, if I'm Satan now, and he put Adam over the earth, this is my man, you rule, you have dominion, what am I going to do? I got to get him out of the way. So he shows up. And he says, don't think he's not watching what's going on. So he sees it, and he sees he's made this man. He says, wow. He's like, he might be tough. But he sees that he makes another one. And he says, she's a little different. I think that might be my end. He's wise, not right?
Yeah.
He's wise. So he picks the weaker vessel, and he gets her. And Adam, it's, you know what Timothy said? He says, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression.
That's because she had one more rib.
That's, well, but he used that. Well, you know what? Look at it. You got Timothy right there. Just flip back. I want to. No, go back to 1 Timothy. Let's see. 1 Timothy, verse 2, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 11. He's writing, and this is Timothy. Paul speaking to Timothy of how to conduct business in the local assembly. We're just going to get the right point here. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, most people say, and not to get too far off to, you know, Satan here, most people say, well, see, Paul said that because he was a chauvinist. You heard that, right, Sherry? But these are the words of the Holy Spirit. This is God's book. And he goes on to further. You know what usurp means, don't you? Usurp means to take by force.
Okay.
To take something, a position that doesn't belong to you. That's what happened back in Genesis. Eve usurped Adam's authority. Where she went and she talked to Satan. She should have said,
go talk to my man.
Or
hold on, he'll be home from work in a few minutes. I'll let you. I'm just throwing that out. But that's the way it should have went. Or let me let him talk to you, or we'll come back tomorrow. But she takes it. You know what? He sounds right. But anyway, verse 13. And he goes on to explain. This is why he said that. He says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was deceived. Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was what? So he did it willfully.
Yes.
And what he did was this. The minute, and just pretend I have a crown on my head, my king, and the garden was Adam's throne, and he was the king and she was the princess. And then Satan comes in and he talks to her, and this is really the gist of it. He says, "You want to sell your kingdom for fruit? It's great fruit. It's a great exchange." And she says, it looks good. But God said we shouldn't. But you know what? She takes it. And when he comes in, he sees it, that something's definitely wrong with her. Because God said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now that's another lesson, but when he sees her, he knows. He says, this ain't the same woman I left this morning. Something happened. And she said, I've eaten. And it's okay. I'm still here. And he's looking like, wow. Oh, he knows. And he's, you know what? He goes down. He wasn't deceived. And he basically just did this. He takes his crown off and says, here, I'm not leaving her. You might as well take it.
So he gave him the favor.
Because then he became like the Most High. He's got it now.
Yeah.
He's got it now. He's got the earth. Mm-hmm. Adam gave it up. He gave it up. So, and he's already got those heavenly hosts following him. So he's got now
132.
He's kind of saying, you know, he's kind of in a good position to say, I'm just like the Most High now, am I not? So look at Matthew, and this goes on for a while. Matthew chapter 4. When so much so, when the Lord shows up on the earth and he's tempted by, he's taken up into the mountain to be tempted by the devil. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter, there's another name, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And he goes on with the temptations, etc. Now drop down to verse 8. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him what?
All the kingdoms of the world.
And the glory of them. All the kingdoms of the world and all the glory, right? And saith unto him, the Satan saith to Jesus, all these things will I what?
Give thee.
If thou wilt
hold on and worship me.
How could he say that?
Got it
belongs to him. Look at Mark. I'm sorry, Luke. Look at Luke chapter 4. Same account.
Just a little more, a little different wording.
Luke 4.
Luke, right. Luke 4, verse 5. Luke 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him, Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I what?
Give
it. He said, this world, these kingdoms were what?
Were here.
He said they were what?
They were delivered to him.
What do you what do you get when what is it when somebody delivers something to you? Who delivered it to him?
Adam.
Yeah, so that little crown scenario wasn't too far off when he said, you know what, here.
So that's why God says that the devil is the king. I mean, the earth is the king. Yeah, the God of this world.
That's okay. That's yeah. Now Paul says that. Now look at Ephesians. So he didn't argue. The Lord didn't say, these are mine. He didn't say that, did he?
Mm-hmm.
He just said, it is written.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't argue the fact that you got them. He said, but you don't tempt God. Mm-hmm. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Right?
Right.
He went back to what was written. But that's a good point to take. Is number one, he was using some devices even against the Lord.
Yeah, that's
cool. So the best way for you to defeat the tactics of Satan is number one, get acquainted with what's written.
Mm-hmm.
What's written to you.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 2 and then chapter 6. Chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, not only is he the God of this world, but he's the what? The prince of the power
of the air.
That don't mean the air you're breathing. He's talking about the heavenlies. So he's got this world on a course that he has set. How many people know that? Where they may say, well, the devil made me do it. Not quite. He has it. He knows. He's smarter. You know what? He knows right division.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
He's much more learned than we are.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows, and he has years of experience dealing with humans.
Expert.
So he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not like God,
mm-hmm.
but he wants to be like God. So what he does is tailors the system to keep you headed in the wrong direction. The system is like it is because that's the way he has it. And the only thing when I was younger, we used to have Hot Wheels, a Hot Wheel track, and you got the track, and it's got a groove in the middle, and the car on the bottom has a little groove, there. It's got a slot, and you roll the car back to give it juice. You rev it up, and you put it in the slot, and you let it go, and it goes right on course. It doesn't get off the course; it just goes through the course. That's what we do. As an unsaved person, you're going just the way he wants you to go. You're being dictated by your flesh. You're walking in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. You're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And he
Just stay on track, buddy. Just keep going. Keep going where you're going, and everything will be fine. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded their minds that they should not believe the truth. Paraphrasing. So that's the way he does. Now, for time's sake, we're going to, this will be our last verse in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. And Paul's writing, he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the
wiles of the devil.
Now, to be strong in the Lord doesn't just mean that you're saying, I'm strong. Mm-hmm. You got to have some information to be strong in the Lord. Because being strong in the Lord and the power of his might is trying to, you know what, you need to find out what has he done for you to enable you to stand. He says, for that, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the devices, the tricks. You know, it's when on Saturday, when I was a kid, we used to watch the Roadrunner. And he would always wrestle, he would always fight against who?
Wile E. Coyote.
Why did they call him Wile E. Coyote? Because he was always trying to do what?
Trying to trip him up.
He was always trying to get the Roadrunner. He was always trying to set traps for him. He was always trying to sneak up on him and get him. Well, that Wile E. Coyote wasn't so wily, because he has never worked. But this wily one is wily, because he gets a lot of saints, doesn't he? He gets a lot of saints. He says, but you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that you may be able to stand. He didn't say fight the wiles of the devil. He says, because you know what? You don't fight the devil. You rest in the man who beat the devil. That's Jesus Christ. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in what?
High places.
He says,
what's that spiritual wickedness?
That means, you know what? It's angelic beings right now who, just as hard as I'm trying to get people to see Paul's message, they're trying as harder for you not to get it.
Yeah, like they're trying to put me to sleep right now.
That's just the flesh right there. But they're happy with that. They're happy with it. That's what Paul talks about in Timothy, where he says that they will be teaching doctrines of devils.
Okay.
That they would be. Do you remember that verse in Timothy? We're not going to turn there, but he talked about them. He was saying, you know what? That they'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And he says in verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All these things that he's listing has to do with information, truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, taking, above all, taking the shield of what?
Faith.
Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
All right. And he says, and take the helmet of what?
Salvation.
And the sword. The sword of what?
Spirit.
Sword of the Spirit, which is the?
Word of God.
Uh-huh. Information. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, he finishes up. He said, you take on the armor. And this is all dealing with information. That we arm ourselves that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil's not in hell. You know, they always picture him in hell. You know, he's not in hell now. Where is he?
Right here.
Right. He's in the heavenlies. He's in the heavenly places now, and he's, you know what? His focus now is to keep you blinded to that doctrine. There's a lot that we skipped over. I mean, a lot.
So you don't think the devil's here on earth? Think he's just in heaven?
I know the devil's in the heavenly places. We just read it that he's.
Yeah, but what about?
Now the time is coming. When he will be?
What about Job?
On the earth, there was a time where he was on the earth. That's a good point, Ryan. That not to belabor this, but what he does, he knows. Didn't I tell you he knows right division?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When God was dealing with the earthly people, guess where he was?
On earth.
Yeah. Why waste my? You know what? If that's what he's dealing with, that's what I'm dealing with. If he's dealing with Abraham, I'm going to be dealing with Abraham. If he's dealing with David, I'm going to be dealing with David. If he's dealing with Jesus, I'm going to deal with him. If he's dealing with the 12, I'm dealing with them. If he switches to Paul, what is he going to do? I'm dealing with Paul. And if Paul's talking about heavenly places, I said that's the last verse. This is the last verse. Colossians chapter 2. See, he knows right division. Mm-hmm. He's not fooling around. He's not trying to get people to stop preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He could care less because he knows what?
We're in grace.
He says, let them keep doing that. They're not a threat.
No problem. Yeah.
Because I know God is not establishing the kingdom now, and that'll never happen. Mm-hmm. That'll never happen. He's doing something totally different. Okay. Colossians chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And Karen's right on time for the last verse. Yeah. Verse 2:15. He says, and having spoiled what? Principalities and powers, he made a show of them,
openly,
triumphing over them in it, by the cross. Mm-hmm. That verse in Corinthians where it says, if they had known what was, they would have never
killed.
So what he has done is he shifted his attention from the 12 and the earthly kingdom, mm-hmm, and he's now... They know they've been spoiled. Mm-hmm. The principalities and powers in heavenly places have been spoiled. Spoiled of what?
Victory.
That's something that, and he knows that, and he says, you know what? I have to keep their minds off of who they really are and what they really have. I have to keep them blinded.
So let them preach the kingdom.
Because I know that God is not dealing with the kingdom of heaven at hand. I know that he's dealing with the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's why Paul says our citizenship is in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. In heavenly places. Mm-hmm. But if you're not familiar with who he is, did you notice he changes with God?
Yeah.
Why don't you? Because he has information and you don't. He has information. He practices right division, but you don't. So he knows where God is, but you don't. And so you stay in his grip and no threat. But Paul said, we're not ignorant of his... I think he is, being the apostle, he assumed a lot of people listened to him. But today, we can't say that we are not ignorant of... We can't say that because we are.
We have that complete grip.
But Satan...
We shouldn't be, but we...
Satan knows what God's doing. He just doesn't know what he's going to do, though, right?
Oh, he knows now. I mean, you look at Revelations, he says he had let him loose, and he knows that he only has a short time. He already knows the outcome. But he says, you know what? I'm not going down. I'm not.
He knows it because the word is now complete.
He's with God. That's why, you know, and I did say this and to use a colloquialism, he would say the Lord or the Satan, he would say, I'm not going out like a sucker. I'm going to get some of them. I'm getting some of them. I'm getting some of them. But that was just something for us to, you know, to think about. Let's pray and we'll go. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we would continue to study, that we might say, like Paul, that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Lord, we thank you once again for the word, for the time we've had here. We know you can take a verse and impress it on our hearts, and we pray that you would use the word and the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, and we do just that. We thank you above all things for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.